One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves. Blake Winchester is about to take you on a journey into the most ambitious, controversial, and, dare we say, sexy chapter of his freedom-filled life. What happens when pole dancing meets the Declaration of Independence? Find out now on Blake Winchester Loves America the Most.
Patriots, we've shared many stories on this program. Tales of heroism, sacrifice, and standing up for the values that make this country great. But what I'm about to tell you is different. This is the story of a dream, a vision, a bold and beautiful idea that was too American for this world. Now, before I get into it, I have to ask, are you ready? Are you ready to hear about a venture so daring, so misunderstood, that it could only come from the mind of Blake Winchester? Because I'll warn you right now, this isn't your typical story of liberty. This one's got wigs, glitter, and some very muscular interpretations of Benjamin Franklin. Let me know if you're ready to dive in. If so, buckle up. It's about to get revolutionary. Patriots, I've stood at many crossroads in my life. Each time I've asked myself the same question, what would the founding fathers do? And in one of my most ambitious ventures, the answer to that question took me down a path so unconventional, so profoundly misunderstood, that it ended not in triumph, but in what I can only describe as divine humiliation. Today, I'm ready to tell you the story of the Patriot Pole, my short-lived attempt to open a founding fathers-themed strip club, a journey I now see as one of God's strangest lessons. It all started, as most good ideas do, with beer and fireworks. It was the 4th of July, and I was sitting in my backyard, basking in the glow of sparklers and the distant sound of amateur pyrotechnics. As I watched a bald eagle soar overhead, I felt an overwhelming sense of pride. And then it hit me. Why do we limit our celebrations of freedom to barbecues and parades? Why not combine history, entertainment, and a little bit of skin to remind people of what this country is really about? Now, I know what you're thinking. Blake, that sounds insane. And yes, in hindsight, maybe it was. But at the time, it felt like a calling from God himself. I imagined him looking down at me from the heavens saying, Blake, the founding fathers would have wanted this. So I got to work. My vision was clear. The Patriot Pole would be more than a strip club. It would be a living, breathing tribute to the revolutionary spirit of 1776. The dancers wouldn't just entertain. They'd educate. Each performance would tell a story, blending historical accuracy with raw, unapologetic patriotism. Imagine this. George Washington, in a powdered wig and a ruffled shirt, stepping onto the stage as Eye of the Tiger blares through the speakers. He grabs the pole like it's the mast of the ship crossing the Delaware, spinning gracefully while tossing fake cherry blossoms into the crowd. Or picture Thomas Jefferson, dressed in a velvet coat and breeches, tossing his quill to the ground as he declares, "Life, liberty, and the pursuit of this." The audience erupts as he performs a slow, sultry routine while reciting excerpts from the Declaration of Independence. And Ben Franklin? Oh, Ben was the star of the show. His act involved a kite, a key, and a strategically placed thong emblazoned with the words, "Freedom charges me up." But it wasn't just the dancers. Oh, no, I wanted every aspect of the Patriot Pole to scream America. The menu would feature items like Liberty Wings, Betsy Ross Burgers, and Paul Revere Nachos, served with a choice of dipping sauces, the Midnight Ride, mild, the British Are Coming, medium, and Full Revolution, extra spicy. The drinks? We'd have a signature cocktail called the Founder's Flask, a bourbon-based masterpiece served with a tiny scroll of the Bill of Rights rolled into the garnish. For beer lovers, we'd offer 1776 Ale, brewed exclusively for the Patriot Pole by a veteran-owned brewery. It was perfect. In my mind, I was already accepting awards for my contribution to American culture. But, as I would soon learn, God had other plans. The first sign of trouble came when I started looking for investors. I thought my buddy Chuck, who owns a local tire shop, would jump at the chance to support such a patriotic venture. But when I pitched the idea to him, he just stared at me and said, "Blake, I think you finally lost it." Undeterred, I approached five other people, including my cousin Jimmy, who once spent an entire weekend dressed as Abe Lincoln for a community theater production. "If anyone gets this idea, it's Jimmy," I thought. But even he said no, claiming the concept was too niche. I should have seen this as a sign, but I didn't. Instead, I doubled down. I took out a loan, found a location, a defunct steakhouse just off the highway, and began renovations. I hired a local artist to paint a mural on the ceiling featuring the founding fathers, shirtless, flexing their muscles while holding the Constitution. It was glorious. Then came the auditions. Let me tell you, Patriots, finding dancers who could embody the spirit of the founding fathers was no easy task. Most of the applicants didn't understand the concept. One guy showed up dressed as a pirate, claiming he thought it was a Halloween gig. Another woman auditioned in a Wonder Woman costume, which, while patriotic, missed the historical mark. But then I found him, Greg, a 35-year-old former history teacher with a flawless Washington accent and an impressive pole routine. His audition brought me to tears when he performed to the Star-Spangled Banner, spinning gracefully while saluting the crowd. I knew I'd found my lead dancer. With the team in place, I scheduled opening night. I invited everyone I knew, friends, family, even a few local politicians. I imagined the crowd roaring with applause as Washington, Jefferson, and Franklin took the stage. I pictured people laughing, crying, and throwing dollar bills in appreciation for the history lessons disguised as lap dances. But then disaster struck. 2 days before opening night, the local city council got wind of my plans. They claimed the Patriot Pole violated zoning laws, calling it inappropriate and a disgrace to the community. I tried to argue my case, even bringing a replica of the Declaration of Independence to a council meeting and reading it aloud. "Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness," I shouted, pausing dramatically to let the words sink in. But they weren't moved. They shut me down before I could even open the doors. At first, I was devastated. How could something so pure, so patriotic, be treated like this? But as I sat alone in the empty club, staring at the mural of shirtless founding fathers, I realized something. This was God's plan. You see, patriots, God didn't want me to succeed with the Patriot poll. He wanted to teach me a lesson about hubris, humility, and the dangers of combining glitter and powdered wigs. And what did I learn? Well, for starters, I learned that not everyone is ready for my vision of liberty. Some people are too closed-minded, too stuck in their ways, to appreciate the beauty of a historically themed strip club. But I also learned that failure isn't the end. It's just a detour on the road to greatness. Sure, the Patriot poll didn't pan out, but the spirit of the idea lives on. Every time I see a dancer, a pole, or a powdered wig, I'm reminded of the revolutionary spark that inspired me to dream big. So to everyone who mocked me, who called me insane or deeply misguided, I say this. You don't understand what it means to dream, to think outside the box, to combine history and lap dances in one glorious display of freedom. God bless the Patriot poll. God bless the founding fathers. And God bless America. Patriots, you've just heard the story of the Patriot poll, a bold vision that, while misunderstood, was undeniably ahead of its time. But the lessons didn't end there. Oh, no. My journey of freedom took a turn that I never expected. And in the next segment, I'll reveal what happened when I tried to personally prove that powdered wigs and pole dancing were inspired by divine intervention. Let's just say it involved a choir, a trampoline, and an uncomfortable conversation with a priest. Don't go anywhere. This one's going to be biblical.
You've just been dazzled by Blake Winchester's most revolutionary failure to date. But don't touch that dial, because coming up next, Blake raises the stakes and takes his patriotic passion straight to the heavens. What happens when one man tries to merge divine inspiration with glitter and trampolines? Find out next on Blake Winchester Loves America the Most, where freedom always comes with a side of spectacle. Welcome back to Blake Winchester Loves America the Most. In this next segment, Blake takes us behind the scenes of his wildest experiment yet, a combination of faith, patriotism, and, well, let's just say, a trampoline might not have been God's original plan. It's a tale of determination, divine misunderstanding, and some seriously misplaced priorities. Buckle up, patriots. This one's going to soar.
Patriots, love and liberty have always gone hand in hand. The founding fathers knew it. Why else would they pen such poetic words about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Yet in these divisive times, the pursuit of happiness has become a battlefield. Singles everywhere are struggling to find love in a world where being unapologetically patriotic can feel like a deal breaker. So I asked myself, what can I do to fix this? The answer, of course, was MAGA Matchmakers, a dating service exclusively for conservative singles who bleed red, white, and blue. I thought, if Tinder can match people based on shared interests like coffee and hiking, why can't I create a platform for people who love freedom, support Trump, and refuse to apologize for saying Merry Christmas? The idea struck me during a neighborhood BBQ. I was chatting with my friend Dave, a fellow patriot who'd recently been through a nasty divorce. Blake, he said, dating's a nightmare these days. I can't even go to a bar without some woman lecturing me about climate change. That's when it hit me. What if there were a place where people like Dave could meet women who loved freedom as much as they loved a good steak? A place where no one had to explain why they had a picture of Trump on their mantle or felt the need to defend their love of monster trucks. The more I thought about it, the more I realized this wasn't just a good idea. It was my calling. MAGA Matchmakers wouldn't just be a dating service. It would be a beacon of hope for conservative singles everywhere. The first step was building the platform. Now, I'm no tech genius, but I figured, how hard could it be? I bought a domain name, MAGA4Love.com, and hired a guy from Craigslist who claimed he'd built several major social networks. In hindsight, I should have asked which ones, because what he delivered was less a dating platform and more a glitchy message board that looked like it hadn't been updated since 1998. But I didn't let that stop me. I added a few patriotic touches, an eagle gif in the header, a background of waving American flags, and a bold tagline, "Find love, find liberty, find your MAGA match." The profiles were simple. Users could list their patriot points, like their favorite Trump speech, their stance on gun rights, and how many flags they had in their yard. There was even a drop-down menu for favorite historical figure, with options like Washington, Lincoln, and, for reasons I can't explain, Ronald Reagan riding a velociraptor. To kick things off, I organized a launch event, Freedom Speed Dating, held in the back room of a local steakhouse. I rented patriotic decorations, hired a bartender to serve themed cocktails like the Liberty Mule, and even commissioned a custom cake shaped like Mount Rushmore. I expected dozens of freedom-loving singles to show up. Instead, I got 12 men, 3 women, and one guy named Carl, who claimed he wasn't single, but just wanted to see what all the fuss was about. Things started off well enough. I gave an impassioned speech about the importance of love in the fight for liberty, then rang a cowbell to signal the start of the speed dating rounds. Each participant had 3 minutes to chat before moving on to the next table. But that's when things started to go off the rails. First, there was Dave. Yes, the very friend who inspired MAGA matchmakers, who decided to use his 3 minutes to recite his favorite Trump tweets verbatim. "Ka-fife," he said, staring deeply into his date's eyes. "It's not just a typo. It's a state of mind." Then there was Mary, a lovely woman in her 50s who brought homemade apple pie as an icebreaker. Unfortunately, her date, Greg, thought the pie was a political metaphor and accused her of playing into liberal stereotypes about carbs. And let's not forget Carl. Despite not being single, Carl decided to monopolize every conversation by detailing his plans to build a Trump-themed amusement park called Freedom Land. At one point, I caught him trying to pitch his idea to the bartender, who looked genuinely terrified. By the time the final cowbell rang, half the participants had left. One table had been flipped over during an argument about gas prices, and Mary's pie was sitting abandoned in the corner, untouched and unappreciated. I wish I could say things got better after that, but they didn't. The website turned out to be a magnet for scammers, including one guy who claimed to be a Russian freedom fighter looking for love. Then there was the woman who created a profile claiming she was Melania Trump's cousin, only to ghost everyone she matched with. The real nail in the coffin came when I tried to expand the service nationally. I hosted a virtual speed dating event over Zoom, only to have the session hacked by trolls who replaced everyone's profile pictures with images of Joe Biden eating ice cream. After that, it was one disaster after another. One participant claimed they met their soulmate through the site, only to later discover that their match was a paid actor I had hired to fill out profiles during the beta test. Another user sued me, claiming that MAGA matchmakers didn't have a strong enough vetting process to ensure everyone was a real conservative. Their evidence? A single profile with a bio that read, "I don't even like flags." Then came the protests. One morning, I woke up to find my house surrounded by angry neighbors holding signs that said things like, "Love isn't partisan," and "Stop monetizing patriotism." One guy even brought a bullhorn and started chanting, "Matchmaking should be free," as if love doesn't come with a price. Looking back, it's easy to see where things went wrong. Maybe I underestimated the challenges of running a dating service. Maybe I should have done more market research. Or maybe, just maybe, God wanted to teach me a lesson. And what was that lesson? Well, it wasn't exactly profound. If anything, it was this. Love and liberty are complicated, and no amount of Eagles or apple pie can change that. But I don't see MAGA matchmakers as a failure. No, Patriots. It was an experiment, a bold, unapologetic attempt to bring people together in the name of freedom. And while it didn't work out, I like to think it planted a seed, one that might one day grow into something beautiful. So, to all the freedom-loving singles out there, I say this, don't give up. Somewhere out there is someone who shares your love of liberty, your passion for the Second Amendment, and your inexplicable fondness for Ronald Reagan on a velociraptor. And if you ever find yourself at a speed dating event that ends with a cowbell and a flip table, remember, you're not alone. Patriots, when I launched MAGA Matchmakers, I had a vision, a dream of bringing liberty-loving singles together under the banner of freedom, love, and unapologetic patriotism. I imagined couples quoting the Constitution on their wedding day, raising their kids to recite Reagan speeches before they could walk, and decorating their homes with Eagles and Trump memorabilia. And while the platform ultimately didn't survive the liberal onslaught of trolls and lawsuits, there was one match, a single shining moment, that almost proved my concept could work. Her name was Diane, but on MAGA Matchmakers, she went by Eagle Wings 76. She was a 42-year-old homeschool teacher from Nebraska who lived and breathed American values. Her profile was a masterpiece of patriotism. She loved baking pies, knitting MAGA hats, and hosting weekly movie nights featuring American Sniper and the Patriot. Her tagline? If loving liberty is wrong, I don't want to be right. I knew immediately she was special. And then there was Randall, a 45-year-old gun range owner from Texas, whose username, Second Amendment for Life, told you everything you needed to know about him. Randall's profile boasted a collection of over 200 firearms, a lifetime NRA membership, and a custom-built Freedom truck painted with an American flag on the hood and a giant bald eagle decal on the tailgate. His favorite hobby, firing warning shots into the air when liberals knock on my door. From the moment Diane and Randall matched, it was magic. Their first messages were full of typos and autocorrect errors, thanks to my glitchy chat platform. But the chemistry was undeniable. Diane loved that Randall ran a business that taught people how to defend themselves. And Randall was smitten by Diane's dream of opening a Trump-themed bed and breakfast called Mar-a-Lodge. It was, as far as I was concerned, a match made in conservative heaven. When they told me about their budding connection, I knew I had to take action. This was my chance to show the world that MAGA Matchmakers worked. So I offered to sponsor their first date, a patriotic extravaganza that would not only celebrate their union, but also serve as a shining example of what my platform could accomplish. At first, they were hesitant. Randall even accused me of being part of the deep state. But after a long conversation where I assured him I was just a freedom facilitator, he agreed. Diane, meanwhile, was over the moon. I pulled out all the stops for this date. I rented a private room at a steakhouse known for its unapologetically American decor, mounted deer heads, Confederate flag napkins, and a jukebox that played nothing but country music and Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. I added my own patriotic flair, of course. Each table was draped with an American flag tablecloth, and the centerpiece featured sparklers, mini fireworks, and a bald eagle figurine I found at a yard sale. I even convinced the staff to wear powdered wigs, because if you're going to celebrate love and liberty, why not go all in? Diane arrived first, wearing a dress patterned with tiny bald eagles and carrying a homemade apple pie in a stars and stripes tin. Randall followed shortly after, sporting a t-shirt that read, Trump 2024, because we're not done yet, and a cowboy hat adorned with a tiny American flag pin. They looked like they'd stepped out of a Norman Rockwell painting, if Rockwell had been commissioned by Fox News. I was seated a few tables away, pretending to read a menu, but actually eavesdropping on their conversation. For the first hour, everything seemed perfect. Diane gushed about her dream of converting an old farmhouse into Mar-a-Lodge, complete with Trump-themed guest rooms like the Reagan Retreat and the Cofeef Suite. Randall nodded enthusiastically, offering to help design a shooting range for guests. Their banter was effortless. They laughed, they shared stories, and they bonded over their mutual hatred of kale, which they agreed was a communist vegetable. When the server brought out their entrees, steaks grilled to perfection, they raised their glasses of Liberty Mules and toasted to America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I couldn't have been prouder. But then came the moment that changed everything. As the server cleared their plates, Randall pulled out his phone to show Diane a picture of his prized AR-15. The rifle was a custom job, decked out with red, white, and blue detailing and a scope shaped like Mount Rushmore. Diane was clearly impressed. "Wow," she said, "that's beautiful. But you know what would make it even better? A Bible verse engraved on the barrel." It was meant as a compliment, a simple suggestion. But Randall didn't take it that way. "You want to engrave a Bible verse on an AR-15, he said, his voice tinged with disbelief. "Diane, that's sacrilege. Guns are sacred on their own. They don't need scripture." Diane's jaw dropped. "Sacrilege? How dare you? Guns and the Bible go hand in hand. Without the Bible, we wouldn't even have the Second Amendment." "That's not how amendments work," Randall snapped, slamming his phone onto the table. "And besides, everyone knows the best way to honor a gun is with a custom flag holster, not some misplaced Bible verse." Their voices grew louder, and nearby diners started to take notice. The server in the powdered wig tried to intervene, but Randall waved him off. "This is a private conversation," he barked, though by now half the restaurant was listening. Desperate to salvage the situation, I abandoned my booth and slid into theirs, plastering on my most patriotic smile. Now, I said, holding up my hands. "Let's not let a little disagreement ruin what could be a beautiful union of liberty-loving souls." But it was too late. Diane and Randall were locked in a battle of ideological wills. "You don't respect the sanctity of Scripture," Diane yelled, her fingers shaking with righteous indignation. "And you don't respect the sanctity of firearms," Randall countered, his face redder than the steak sauce on his plate. By the time dessert arrived, a cheesecake shaped like an American flag, they weren't even looking at each other. Diane stormed out first, declaring, "You'll never understand what it means to be a real patriot." Randall followed minutes later, muttering something about Diane, probably secretly recycling. I sat alone at the table, staring at the untouched cheesecake, feeling a pang of defeat. My perfect match had unraveled before my eyes, not because they didn't share the same values, but because their devotion to those values had spiraled into chaos. The next day, I reached out to both of them, hoping to smooth things over. Diane sent me a long email explaining why she could never date someone who didn't see the connection between faith and firearms. Randall, on the other hand, sent a single sentence: "I hope Diane finds someone who shares her heretical views." Looking back, I realize now that this was one of God's lessons. He wanted to show me that love, like liberty, is messy. Sometimes, even the most compatible people can clash over the smallest things. And sometimes, no amount of patriotic decor or powdered wigs can fix what's broken. But I refuse to see this as a failure. Diane and Randall may not have found love, but they found something else. Clarity. And for that, I consider MAGA matchmakers a success. After all, isn't that what freedom is all about? The right to argue, to disagree, and to walk away from an uneaten cheesecake if you must? Patriots, as I sit here reflecting on the chaotic and unexpectedly divisive date I orchestrated for Diane and Randall, I can't help but think back to the lessons my father, Stan Winchester, taught me at his restaurant, Stan's on the Bay. It was a place of wisdom, a shrine to hard work, and, honestly, the site of some of the strangest life lessons I've ever received. And while my matchmaking experiment didn't exactly lead to a love story for the ages, it reminded me of one of my dad's most absurd, and yet somehow poignant, lessons. Stan's on the Bay wasn't just a seafood joint. It was a fortress of liberty perched right on the edge of Freedom Bay, named not because of any historical significance, but because my dad claimed it was too American for cartographers to handle properly. The restaurant was a beacon of patriotism, decorated with an almost alarming number of American flags, old campaign posters, and a wooden statue of a shirtless Ronald Reagan holding a swordfish. Every menu item had a patriotic twist. You didn't just order a burger. You ordered the all-American beef patriot. You didn't get a salad. It was the founding farmer's feast. And don't even get me started on the Liberty lobster roll. Growing up, I spent countless hours at that restaurant, sweeping floors, bussing tables, and absorbing my dad's endless supply of advice. Stan Winchester wasn't a man who believed in subtlety. He was the kind of guy who'd slap you on the back so hard you'd feel it for days and follow it up with, "That's freedom hitting you, boy." He was larger than life, filled with opinions that ranged from brilliantly inspiring to completely unhinged. And he never missed an opportunity to teach me something, whether I wanted to learn or not. I remember one evening, not long after I'd been caught trying to charge kids in the neighborhood admission to my backyard carnival, which consisted of a garden hose, a trampoline, and a very angry raccoon I'd found. My dad sat me down in the booth by the window, the one with the best view of Freedom Bay. He poured himself a tall glass of sweet tea, set his elbows on the table, and said, "Blake, you've got ambition, and that's good. But ambition without wisdom, that's like a bald eagle without wings. It's just a big, flightless bird sitting there, looking majestic and accomplishing nothing." I didn't know what he meant at the time, and honestly, I'm not sure he did either. But what he said next stuck with me forever. "Son," he said, pointing at the giant Reagan statue near the bar, "there's one thing you need to know about success. It's not about winning. It's not about money. It's about creating something so undeniably American that even your failures look like victories." At the time, I thought he was just rambling, but looking back, I realize how much that philosophy shaped me. It's why I threw everything I had into MAGA matchmakers. I wasn't just trying to create a dating service. I was trying to create something undeniably American. Something bold, unapologetic, and filled with the kind of absurdity that only true patriots can appreciate. But the lesson didn't end there. My dad was never content to let words do all the teaching. He believed in experiential wisdom, and that night he decided to demonstrate his point in the most Stan Winchester way imaginable. It was around closing time, and the restaurant was mostly empty except for a few regulars. My dad stood up, clapped his hands, and announced, "Tonight, we're making history." Then he marched into the kitchen and came back carrying a massive raw swordfish. He plopped it down on the counter and said, "Blake, you're going to learn how to fillet this thing, and you're going to do it blindfolded. Now, patriots, let me tell you, there's nothing less reassuring than watching your dad hand you a blindfold and a knife while shouting, 'Trust the process.'" But Stan Winchester wasn't the kind of man you argued with. So I tied the blindfold around my head and prepared for the most dangerous life lesson of my young existence. For the next hour, my dad barked instructions at me while I fumbled with the swordfish, cutting more of the counter than the actual fish. The regulars cheered me on, though I'm pretty sure most of them were just there for the free entertainment. By the time I was done, the swordfish looked like it had been through a wood chipper, But my dad wasn't upset. In fact, he was beaming. "You see that, folks?" he shouted, holding up one of the mangled fillies. "That's what it looks like when a young man learns the value of failure. Sure, it's ugly, but it's still a fish, and it's still American." I didn't fully understand the lesson that night, but as I reflected on Diane and Randall's disastrous date, it all started to make sense. My dad wasn't teaching me how to fillet a fish. He was teaching me that success isn't always about getting things right. Sometimes it's about having the guts to try something crazy, even if it doesn't work out the way you planned. MAGA matchmakers might have been my mangled swordfish, but it was still American. It was still an attempt to create something bold, something meaningful, something that screamed liberty from the rooftops. And while Diane and Randall didn't end up together, their story, like my blindfolded swordfish lesson, wasn't a failure. It was a testament to the beauty of trying, of taking risks, of believing in something bigger than yourself. So to my dad, Stan Winchester, wherever you are now, probably yelling at some heavenly bartender to add more flags to their margaritas, thank you. Thank you for teaching me that ambition without wisdom is like a bald eagle without wings. And thank you for showing me that even when our efforts fall apart, they're still worth celebrating if they're done in the name of freedom. Patriots, life is a series of lessons, some big, some small, and some so absurd you're not entirely sure they were meant for you in the first place. But let me tell you something. The next lesson I learned was one that changed the course of my life. It's a story about loyalty, betrayal, and what happens when you try to bring freedom to a place that didn't ask for it. Coming up next, I'll take you on a journey to the time I tried to start my own independent nation right in the middle of my cul-de-sac. Trust me, you don't want to miss this one.
You've just heard Blake Winchester reflect on the absurdity of life, liberty, and swordfish lessons. But up next, get ready for a tale so outrageous, it'll make your bald eagle weep. Blake recounts the time he declared independence from his HOA and tried to form his own patriotic utopia. Was it treason? Was it genius? Find out next on Blake Winchester Loves America the Most, where freedom is a lifestyle and compromise is for the weak.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.